Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Life is reopening more and more across the country. COVID cases are going up, as was expected. There is some breaking news this morning from the FDA. It says it is going to withdraw or has withdrawn approval for malaria drugs. The Food and Drug Administration saying, and I am reading this from the New York Times at the moment, that it was revoking emergency authorization for hydroxychloroquine and the related drug chloroquine because they are, quote, unlikely to be effective. Again, I expect that you'll hear more about that throughout the day. Meanwhile, let's take a look at cases. Nevada passed 11,000 COVID cases yesterday morning, with 227 more happening in the 24 hours from Saturday to Sunday. This was a big jump, according to the state's Department of Health and Human Services, but it was not as high as jumps that happened last Thursday and Friday. Some of this is being attributed to increased testing, although there are also more cases overall. California had 3,200 new cases on Saturday. That was not quite as high as Friday, which was around 3,600 new cases, still a notable spike. And the state now is getting close to the mark of 150,000 confirmed cases since the pandemic began, with more than 5,000 confirmed deaths. So, the coronavirus hasn't gone away. There is no cure. There aren't even easy, reliable treatments right now. So how do we stay safe when we go back to some of the choices that we have now in our normal lives? On the phone with us is Natasha Toznik. She is an assistant clinical professor of infectious diseases and part of the UC Davis Travel Clinic. Natasha, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Beth, and thank you for having me on the show. I'm thrilled to be here today.
It can be very spirited to talk about the reopening, and certainly a lot of people were jumping back into places that they've been missing going. But can we start with face masks, which is something that applies to wherever, whenever, whatever you might be doing? There's such a mixed attitude and guidance right now about face coverings. What's your take on them?
Yes, Beth. So I'm happy that you asked me that as an opening statement, because I actually wanted to start with saying that I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that all of the things we'll be talking about today should start with avoiding complacency at this time. I know everybody's been cooped up at home, isn't excited to get back out, but ultimately the recommendations are still to continue to wear the mask, wash your hands frequently for 20 seconds, especially before and after activities outside your home, and finally to continue to maintain that 6 foot of social distancing.
So I've already had this experience of going into a restaurant and all the serving staff, and in fact all the staff in a restaurant, might be wearing masks, and you look around and almost no one sitting at the table or standing at the bar is wearing a mask. What about one-way masking? How much help is that?
Well, again, for the masking, it's a courtesy, really. So when an individual is wearing a mask, the goal there is to protect others, and by others wearing the masks, it will protect you. So certainly the servers are, in essence, protecting the clients, but the clients may not be returning that same courtesy, even though it may be unintentional. But again, eating and drinking is very difficult to do while wearing a mask.
So let's go down some of the list of places that people are going to in this phase three opening. And one of the biggies is a hair salon, but I'm going to add to that list a nail salon, or if you've been waiting and want to get a tattoo, you're going back into these places. They're going to look different because of modifications. What should we know in terms of safety?
So I can start with hair salons, as most of these are already open, and if not everyone is aware, the nail salons are not yet open, but it looks like the governor is planning to open them this coming Friday on the 19th. Regardless of that, ultimately either location should be limiting the number of clients and workers in the building at one time in order to try to do the best possible methods of maintaining social distancing. Obviously, the operator and the patron are not going to be able to socially distance 6 feet from one another. However, they should be able to do so from other staff and patrons. In terms of the salon, I would certainly call ahead of time. Don't be shy to ask about what their policies are. And most salons at this time that are normally offering beverages or brief massages should not be offering these at this time. And in addition to that, also avoiding magazines and the waiting room. And for the salons, I would caution all the ladies out there in particular that the blow-drying services are probably not going to be available at this time, given concerns for circulating infectious particles, especially in asymptomatic individuals. And this one's really tough, but you have to try to limit your conversation with your stylist at this time.
Okay, we could spend a lot of time there. Did we mention the tattoo situation?
We have not talked about the tattoo situation, but that I would say that is following all of those same recommendations. Again, the 6-foot distancing is not going to be possible, but I would say a tattoo is probably one of the more non-essential things to do at this time. And we have to remember that at the end of the day, it's a healthcare crisis and not really a beauty crisis. So I would strongly advise people wait on getting tattoos at this time, particularly if you're in a higher risk category.
I hear what you're saying, except I can imagine that somebody might feel very compelled because of the time that's happening, whether it be COVID, whether it be the George Floyd situation or protest, to really make some sort of a mark in that way. So I think the guidelines in terms of safety with tattoos is really important. I want to move on, though, to the gyms, because our particular gym might be open again, and workout safety is a pretty critical issue right now.
Yes. So for the gyms, again, do your research before you go. See if your gym or the gym you're interested in going to is limiting how many individuals are allowed in at the same time. And just be aware that the locker rooms may be off limits. And even if they are, try to avoid using them as their shared area with a lot of frequently touched hard surfaces and may not be cleaned as often as, say, the gym equipment. When you look around, the equipment should be kept free of close contact. For example, every other treadmill or elliptical should be off limits, and you should attempt to stay 6 feet away from others as much as possible. I would also recommend cleaning the machines before and after you use them yourself with the disinfectants that are available at the gym. And if you require the use of any sort of rubber or foam objects, such as a mat, a yoga block, the strengthening bands, then I would recommend bringing these yourself, as they are notoriously difficult to sanitize despite someone's best efforts. The only other couple things I would mention that may be helpful are to go during slower times, potentially midday or later in the evening if that's possible for you. And then finally, I would recommend bringing at least 2 towels, one for sweat so that you don't touch your face, which is really important at a gym because it's difficult, more difficult to keep your hands clean there, and one for equipment that you can use to lay on. And if you sweat a lot, then I highly recommend the use of a sweatband. Again, you really want to try to stay away from touching your face.
Natasha, what's your thought about exercise classes that are in a room or a studio? We're not at that point yet, but there is some thought that maybe it will come by beginning of July, perhaps. Again, we don't know. But what about returning to those classes?
So if you're really set on returning to those classes, I would just try to limit the amount that you go to. And again, hopefully the gym is also limiting the amount of people that are in the class so that you can better maintain that social distancing. And lastly, I would say if you can find one where they offer the group classes outside, that would be even better because there's better ventilation in an outside location.
Oh, it just feels good too. So movie theaters can open. A number of them have not. They've decided to wait. But when we do go back into a theater, might this be a place where a mask is required?
Yes, Beth. So from what I have found, looking at the mandates and guidelines that have been posted, most movie theaters will strongly encourage the use of the mask, but may not necessarily recommend that they're mandated. But in general, and I would advise taking what I say here with a grain of salt, but going to the movies may not actually be quite as unsafe as we think in terms of many people being in a confined space. But one reason for this is that, in general, people are hopefully not talking to each other during a movie, unlike bars and gyms. And in addition, all people are facing the same direction. So this is known to help decrease the potentially circulating infectious particles. And in addition, social distancing can be practiced if the theater assures that they limit the number of guests that can sit 6 feet apart, such as every other row in a checkerboard-type configuration.
Very interesting. I'm talking with Natasha Tuznik. She is assistant clinical professor of infectious diseases at UC Davis and part of the UC Davis Travel Clinic. You just mentioned bars, scenes from bars and nightclubs over the weekend, not just in California, do show that people were really excited to get back out. Many of the places were quite full. In some places, not much in the way of masks or even social distancing. But if you're one of those people that really wants to go out but also wants to be cautious, what do you do?
So you stated it correctly, Beth. Bars are tricky in one of the higher risk locations. Again, eating and drinking with a mask is not really possible, and socially distancing is going to be more challenging in such a location, even if the bar tries to implement such social distancing measures. I mean, usually when you go to a bar, the idea is that you're there to socialize and speak with people. So proximity is something that you sort of look forward to. And there might also be some complacency, especially after patrons are imbibing. So ideally, bars would be limiting the number of patrons present at any given time. And you could go to a place that you're familiar with members of your same household. I chuckle because I know that that's very difficult to do. Again, people want to go out and meet others, but from a safety standpoint, it's not the best time to go out and meet new people and mingle, and I'll sort of leave it at that.
All right. Shopping malls. I had friends tell me they stood in lines for 4 or 5 hours over the weekend just waiting to be able to go back into their favorite place. So let's talk about being anywhere where we're shopping with a cart, with other people. But will you add to that public bathrooms and the safety at the restroom?
Sure, absolutely, Beth. So for shopping malls, most of the places, from what I can tell, are limiting the number of people, which is why the lines exist, and also the number of stores that are open. When you do go, or if you do go, try to avoid the common places for congregations, such as the seating areas, the massage chairs, maybe even the playgrounds for the kids. Skip the food court if you can, and really try to focus on targeted shopping. I know that one's tough because for pastime, we like to go to the mall and sort of look around. But really, this is a time to have a list, have a goal, get in and get out, so to speak, and just be very cognizant of the items that you are touching, particularly hard surfaces. So for the shopping itself, if you're going into a dressing room, that would be a little bit higher risk. So make sure if you're touching the handles that you disinfect your hands afterwards. And if you purchase any clothing, I'd probably recommend washing it prior to wearing it once you have returned home. And on that note, in regard to the public restrooms, sometimes that's just unavoidable. So if you can, try not to touch any of the fixtures, particularly after you have washed your hands. So if you can, use a paper towel to dry your hands as opposed to the air dryers, and then use that same paper towel to turn the water off and open the door and or turn off the light switch. And if you have disinfecting wipes or spray on you, which hopefully most of us do, then please utilize them. And lastly, for the females, and to be frank, I would stand and or hover if you are able to do so, just to minimize contact again with those hard surfaces.
I appreciate that. Also, you're giving us a good reminder to wash our hands, which is something we were saying so much in the beginning. And we've got to just get back to wash your hands for, you know,
absolutely,
two or three rounds of the song and nice, good soapy bubbles. Okay, we just have a quick minute left, but people are going to be getting on an airplane this summer, maybe for the first time since March. How do you travel on an airplane safely?
Yes, excellent question. So travel prepared. This is one of those situations where you want to take your masks, gloves, disinfecting wipes, just be ready. Depending upon which airports you travel through, remember that major cities have thousands of travelers passing through from every corner of the world. So if you can, try a smaller airport. And then once you get onto the plane, aside from masking, I would highly recommend wiping down your seat and in particular the tray table, which is usually the dirtiest part of the airplane, and not disinfect it as regularly. And then I have a few more things, but I know one big question with the time we have left is where to sit on an airplane.
Right.
So the window seat, it looks like, is considered the safest, followed by the aisle seat and then the middle seat. However, you have to realize if you're sitting within 3 to 6 rows of an individual who is infected, may not be aware, then your chances of infection go up significantly. So it is sort of a gamble, but still your safest bet.
I do hear that some airlines are blocking middle seats from now on, too.
Mm-hmm, correct.
But because there is a lot on this topic, we'll post a link because you've written articles about travel tips, and we'll add those to capradio.org/insight so people can find them.
Okay, sounds great, Beth. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Natasha. By the way, I think your maternity leave starts in a few days, doesn't it?
Yes, ma'am, it sure does.
Oh, good luck with the baby and good luck to your family.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much.
Thanks for joining us today. Natasha Tuznik is Assistant Clinical Professor of Infectious Diseases and part of the UC Davis Travel Clinic. Those links will be on our website. We're coming back with the Uplift in just a moment. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.